Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Okay, my friends, time for this. I just have to say a little ears warning on this one because it is time for sex and relationship therapy, but this is not for little ears.
It's relationship therapy with Rachel Cook.
Okay, this one is an interesting one. We're going to talk about a film called How to Have Sex. Now, we're not giving you instructions. It's actually a new movie that raises some big questions about consent and all that kind of stuff. Have a listen. Here's a clip from that movie, okay? Here we go. Here we go.
What's your name?
Tara.
I've not noticed it before, but you're proper beautiful.
You two are two of my best mates.
No one cares if you're a virgin, it's very chill. So why are you bringing it up then?
Okay, there we go. Rachel Cook, our sex and relationship therapist, is on the line to discuss all. Rachel, how's it going?
Oh, how's it going? This is a great film, isn't it?
Okay, well, let's talk about it. But there is a lot of chat about consent these days. It seems to be a hot topic, even more with this brilliant new film, How to Have Sex. Now, can you tell us a bit about it without any spoilers? Give us a brief outline.
I sure can. So it's a film about three 17-year-olds going on a sun holiday to party. And it's a very nuanced look at how situations can go from kind of drunken, sexy fun to coercion, to assault, and how that can be a kind of shifting grey area. And I think this film's amazing in that it really allows you to see and experience the world through the main character's eyes. And it also very kind of in a very kind of detailed, sensitive way looks at how we often turn the other way when something dodgy or wrong is happening because we don't know how to respond. We're afraid to make a fuss. And it also really looks at what it's like to come to terms with the fact that you've been coerced or assaulted and what that's like to come to terms with that and recognize that that happened to you. So I think it's really important the way it looks at how we can both, you know, want to say something and get help and know that something is wrong for ourselves or for someone else, but also want to shut it down and just get it out of our head because it's scary and we don't know what it means about us or them or the situation.
Sure. I suppose the first protocol here, the most important thing is that teenagers need to know what is coercive control and when, you know, when it's a problem, and they need to know that their feelings are valid. So why is it so important to talk to young people about consent and sex and bodies and even porn?
Oh, it's so important to talk about these things because, you know, there is a massive problem. There's a pandemic of sexual coercion and abuse still happening, you know, whether that's in schools, whether that's, you know, in society at large. And so, you know, kids and teens are talking about sex, seeing sex in films, on TV. They're seeing porn as young as we've talked about many times, Jen, as young as 5, 6, 7 years old, you know, and they're experimenting. The majority of people start having sex as teenagers. So it really, really needs to be discussed. And the best tools for people to have safe, you know, kind of sexual activity and kind of age appropriate sexual activity and chats and the way to avoid kind of abuse and assault where possible is, you know, what we need to be able to avoid those things are knowledge, skills around consent, self-awareness and the support to do that. You know, we also need much more comprehensive sex ed in schools. But a lot of this can come from talking to kids, whether that's your own children, whether that's, you know, family friends, whether it's, you know, like people, young people in your life. What we need to be having is more conversations, and we don't need to pretend that we know everything in order to be able to talk to people, talk to young people about what it is that they already know, how they feel about things, you know, and so that's the way that we have less of these horrible things happen to
Absolutely.
People.
Absolutely. Should we be talking to boys and girls differently about consent?
Yeah, in a way, I would say yes, we do, because, you know, consent is obviously an important thing for all people, all kids to learn. But for boys, the lesson is often more complicated and has been more ignored. You know, we've generally spent a lot more time telling girls that they need to accommodate boys, you know, boys will be boys, that they need to learn how to kind of protect themselves rather than telling boys and men how to not make other people feel uncomfortable and not be pushy, how to read the signs. So it's kind of more vital for boys in the sense that they're generally the ones doing the majority of the violation and the harm. Mm-hmm. So we do need to be talking to people differently and looking at the often conflicting messages about sex and what is and isn't acceptable behavior, because we have this, as I said, terrible habit of telling girls you need to learn how to stay safe and kind of stopping there. But what that does is it places the entire burden of having consensual encounters on girls, mm-hmm. and implies that if it goes wrong, that it's their fault. Whereas, you know, this isn't just about heterosexual people, it's about people of all genders and sexualities, but boys are often getting the message that sex, having it or getting it, is tied to being confident and powerful and masculine. And these stereotypes are often backed up by media and by peer pressure. So we need to really look at what, you know, confidence looks like, what consent is, how to talk about sex, verbal consent, you know, looking at body language cues and being able to really practice the skills around that, which isn't just a few conversations. It's a lot of, you know, kind of dedicated time to literally practicing, which we need to be doing in schools as well.
Yeah, can you give us more stuff to focus on? Like some things that parents and family members can say to boys and to girls.
Yeah, so they can talk about things like what is their knowledge of what consent is? You know, ask them about, you know, how that's talked about in their kind of peer group. Ask them about what they're learning at school. What do, you know, you don't have to be necessarily asking them for direct kind of information about their sexual experience unless they're willing to share that with you. But what you can be doing is going, hey, what do you think about this and what do you know? You know, you might want to talk about things like how to have verbal consent, what that means, what it looks like. You could ask them about things like, how do you know if someone wants to kiss you, or how would you ask someone if you wanted to kiss them? How can you tell if someone is interested in you? How can you tell if your partner is ready for sex? You know, again, if you think they'll feel comfortable answering these sorts of questions, great. And if you don't think they're comfortable, or they make it clear that they're not comfortable, then doing something like organizing a chat for them to have with another trusted adult that they feel comfortable with is a very good idea. Then you can look at things like paying attention to body language. You know, ask them, how would you know if your partner seemed physically comfortable? You know, talk about, you know, what it means if that other person is leaning in or pulling away. You know, you're going to have to look at, you know, since for boys, again, depending on their sexuality, and they might be experimenting with this, you know, if they're doing more of the initiating, then they need to be more aware of what the signs are that the other person is not comfortable, not sure, you know, especially if they might be drunk or high or anything like that, how to kind of read the signals both verbally and non-verbally. And if it's for someone who's more likely to have, you know, kind of sexual attention initiated with them, then how do they communicate that they're not comfortable? How do they recognize in themselves that they might need to slow down? Things like that, which are great to talk about. So there's a lot in there, and it's really good for parents, you know, adults, to be reading up about this themselves, because for most of us, even for millennials, never mind Gen X and boomers, you know, the consent, verbal consent, was generally not a massive thing. It's only really with Gen Z that we're seeing this as big. And so I think one of the problems is that we think that it's all been sorted because people are now better at verbal consent. But what this film shows us is that verbal consent is not the be all and end all either, because there's still a lot of coercion and pressure going on. So we really need to talk about that more.
Okay. And as adults, Irish people in particular, how can we shake off, I don't know, the insecurity and mortification and shame that we might have ourselves around sex and talking about it?
Oh, I think the same thing as what we're trying to do with kids is kind of asking ourselves and each other the questions. You know, how do you know if you're enjoying yourself? How do you know if you're moving too fast? You know, like whether that's in your own sex life, having a look at, you know, yourself, your kind of your experience historically can be a really good thing to do. Also listening to some podcasts, reading about this, and again, practicing kind of asking yourself the questions, talking about it with other adults. It might might be journaling about it if you feel too sort of nervous or shy to begin with talking about it. You know, you can write about that to yourself or make yourself voice notes about it. But that really just getting into the habit of practicing discussing it is going to help you feel a lot less shame, embarrassment, and as you said, mortification, because a lot of us find it difficult, just kind of vulnerable and weird and embarrassing to talk about. And we really need to get over that, because, you know, as long as the shame persists, it's more likely that these kinds of coercion and, you know, force and abuse and compliance are happening because we don't know how to deal with it and we don't have the skills yet. So I think really seeing this as a set of skills that anyone can learn, and that most of us will have some stuff that really doesn't feel great in our background. And that's not something to be ashamed of. It's something to look about, talk about, and, you know, find a way to be able to find more confidence in ourselves and have support.
I suppose what I've got from this chat is if you have boys and girls in the house, it is. And when you think about talking about consent, when we talk about consent, I honestly, if I'm being completely honest, I do think talking to girls about consent, that I don't know why that is. But what I've got from this conversation, it is as important, if not more important, to talk to guys about consent and young lads about consent. And the stats have shown that the majority of people watching porn are men and young lads, and that can be problematic as well. Problematic porn as well, right? So it is so important to speak to the young lads. And do you think, because sometimes with these kind of issues or these topics, you go, oh, well, I'll deal with the girl, I'll deal with her. He's a guy, like, you'll have more understanding because you're his dad. You go and speak to him about all that kind of stuff. Do you think it's better to kind of flip the tables there and have the mother speak to the son?
Good idea. I think both are as important because, right, if your son is, you know, straight and approaching you know, women, although I wouldn't make assumptions about that, you know, that, you know, especially as teenagers are kind of experimenting, getting to know themselves, and, you know, could find all sorts of things could be going on in terms of, you know, sexuality and playing around with, you know, gender and discovering themselves, coming into themselves, that, you know, whatever the gender of the parents, it's a good idea for multiple people to be talking to that child.
Multiple conversations.
To be able to talk about their own personal experience as well. It doesn't mean you have to go into detail about having been, you know, coerced or assaulted yourself, to be able to talk about how there is, you know, a kind of massive societal problem around this, and that you don't have to be, you know, saying it as in trying to make your child feel fear and shame, in order to be able to say that there are, you know, issues with this, and that it's really, really important to talk about, and to also talk about the law. You know, it's important to brush up on what the law is around sexual consent, you know, not just around age of consent, but also, you know, what constitutes assault, so that people can really have a clear idea of how it's not okay to be engaging sexually with someone who is passed out or who is, you know, very drunk, and these sorts of things. So I think, you know, the more people who are talking to young people, the better. The more support that they have, the more places that they have to be able to talk about this and learn, the better.
Amazing. Rachel, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us about consent. Rachel Cook is a psychotherapist and a mental health consultant. She's on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. She is back next Wednesday. We're going to talk about desire. Yes, that's going to be interesting. So make sure you tune in for that.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.